Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be doing part four and the final part of our mini-series where we're looking at this hot topic. What exactly is an excellent minister? Or better yet, who has the right to define who is and who is not an excellent minister? If you've been with us on our last few programs, we've been taking a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. And it's in this section that the Apostle Paul, writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, it's there in that section that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives 11 qualities of an excellent minister. And now, again, if you've been with us on our recent shows, you'll understand that it's entitled Excellent Minister because we use two Greek words found in verse 6, part B, where the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, if you do these certain things, if you have these certain qualifications, you will be an excellent, kalos is the Greek word, meaning excellent or praiseworthy, minister, diakonos, which really means servant in general. Now, in the immediate context, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a young minister, a young pastor by the name of Timothy. So in the immediate context, minister describes somebody such as myself, an ordained pastor, whereby the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives 11 qualities of what I need to follow if I want to be an excellent minister. But also, because the word for minister is general, meaning servant, diakonos, so in a general state, every Christian is a diakonos servant or minister of Christ Jesus. I think it's safe to say that these 11 qualities not only apply to someone like me, an ordained pastor, but they also apply to someone like you, a Christian who serves the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these qualities are very important. And why? Look, we all want to be excellent in something, don't we? You know, from the time we can remember when we were so young, we really were taught that we want to strive and excel towards excellence. I know when I was younger, for me, it was trying to be an excellent student, or in college, trying to be an excellent athlete. After college, trying to be excellent in business. And then going to seminary, trying to be an excellent student in seminary, getting ordained as a pastor, and trying to be excellent in serving the Lord in ministry. And the problem was that for me personally, the standards I was following in many of those instances growing up and in my younger part of my life, many of those standards that I really was aspiring towards, they were not standards from God's word. They were standards from man's mouth. And so, okay, Andrew, if you do this, you do this, you do this, you'll be an excellent student. Andrew, if you do this, you do this, you do this, you'll be excellent as an athlete. If you do this and become this and act like this, you'll be great in business, you'll be great in ministry. And friends, I think it's safe to say that probably you have followed standards from man's mouth rather than from God's word, right? And see, that was the problem that was happening with young Timothy there in this church or churches he was responsible to pastor in Ephesus. Again, Timothy was in his mid-30s, rather young for a pastor at that time. He was in a very, very difficult church or churches there in Ephesus. He had to clean up the corruption there. And Timothy, by nature, was rather timid, was prone to stomach ailments. Again, he was rather young. And so he was having a hard time in that church or churches. He was dealing with false teaching elders. He was dealing with corrupt worship services. He was dealing with people who were committing apostasy and walking away from the faith. He was dealing with widows who, you know, were in some instances not acting like holy women of God. He was dealing with men who were not doing what they were supposed to be doing in the church of God. I mean, Timothy had a very, very tough pastorate there. And one of the reasons why Paul was writing to Timothy was to encourage him. And again, here in this section of chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, he says, okay, Timothy, you know, quit listening to everybody else's opinion as to what an excellent minister is. Timothy, I'm writing this to you to give you instructions so you know how you ought to conduct yourself as a minister and how God's people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God. And so Paul gives these qualities to Timothy, and as a bit of a review, Paul said to Timothy, number one, that an excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. He really warns people of the dangers of this world, the dangers of the devil, the dangers of our sin nature. An excellent minister, number two, is also a humble servant, understanding that he or she is not the star, but we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are servants. The picture is of a third-level galley slave. We just simply row and row and row for our captain, Jesus Christ. We're not looking to be stars. We're not looking to be in the spotlight. An excellent minister or servant of Christ Jesus is a protecting shepherd and is a humble servant. We also saw that an excellent minister is a serious student. A serious student who nourishes himself on the truths of the faith and of the deep doctrine. Look, garbage in, garbage out. Godliness in, godliness out. And that's a very, very clear principle when you're serving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, whether you're an ordained pastor such as myself or whether you're a Christian who is serving the Lord, we all use our gifts for the glory of the Lord. We are to protect people. We are to be humble before people. And we got to be serious students. Look, you have nothing to offer to somebody if you don't have God's word richly dwelling on the throne of your heart. Because otherwise, then all you're offering are band-aids to people. You're not a therapist. Everybody needs to be a theologian. Every one of us needs to. We're not psychoanalysts. We are giving people God's word, God's truth. That is the only thing. The word of God is empowered by the Spirit of God to impact the people of God. You and I are simply the delivery people. And therefore, we have to make sure that we are nourishing ourselves on the deep truths of the faith so we have something healthy to deliver to hurting people. An excellent minister, quality number four. Avoids ungodly influences. You've got to protect your mind. You've got to watch what you're watching on TV or on the internet. You've got to watch what you're listening to. You've got to watch who you're hanging out with. You have to avoid ungodly influences because you've got to protect your mind. Characteristic number five of an excellent minister is you have to train yourself to godliness. Godliness, eusebia, it's a very popular word that Paul uses in the pastoral letters. Godliness, it means piety, reverence, spiritual virtue towards God and in front of others. That's the goal, Christian. The goal is to be like Christ. The goal is godliness. And therefore, you have to be diligent, disciplined. The Greek word gymnasia, it's where we get our English word gymnasium. You've got to train yourself and train yourself. And again, that's why you've got to nourish yourself on the truths of the faith. That's why you have to avoid ungodly influences and train yourself towards godliness. That means you've got to be in the Word. You've got to be in prayer. You've got to be around Christian fellowship. You've got to be involved in the means of grace that the church provides, worship, the Lord's Supper, baptisms, testimonies. You've got to train yourself to godliness. That is, if you want to be an excellent minister according to God. Quality number six, an excellent minister gives maximum effort in this to the point of exhaustion, to the point of agonizing, because you know what the goal is, Christian. It is Christ-likeness. It is godliness. You see, one of the things that when I first came into ministry, I wasn't sure what the goal was. What am I supposed to do with people? What was I supposed to do with myself? Is the goal to gather thousands of people in a building and preach in front of them? Is the goal to have a perfectly balanced budget or be able to build all kinds of buildings that can impact more people in the community? Is the goal to plant more churches? Is the goal to go overseas and do mission work and reach the unreached people? What's the goal? Look, all those things are okay, what I just mentioned, but they are not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is godliness. The ultimate goal is to be like Christ. That's why you have to give maximum effort. I hear people all the time, oh, Andrew, I'm too tired to read the Bible in the morning. Okay, then read it at night. Well, I'm too tired at night to read the Bible. Well, excuse me, get over yourself. You're not too tired to watch the internet. You're not too tired to watch movies. You're not too tired to watch TV. You're not too tired to talk on the cell phone. You're not too tired to send text messages. Listen, exhaust yourself when it comes to training for godliness. It is a great goal, and that's what you want to be doing. If you're going to be tired training towards godliness. Give maximum effort. And as we learned on our last show, an excellent minister also does something else. He teaches with authority and boldness. Once the word of God is saturated inside of you, you bring the word of God out of you and you speak with authority. Not that you're the authority, but you're speaking God's authoritative word. And you speak with boldness, the Greek word paresia. You give all truth. There's no ambiguity. You're speaking truth to people. And you're speaking with the authoritative word of God and trusting that the Holy Spirit will use that to impact people. You don't just give half truths. You don't shy away from what God's word says. You bring it. Yes, you show love, but you speak truth and nothing but the truth. Which leads then to our last qualities of an excellent minister. We're told also that an excellent minister, and we're down now in verse 12, is an example of godliness, is an example of godliness. Paul said to Timothy in verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. The problem was Timothy, again, as I said, was rather young to be a pastor at that time. A lot of the older people apparently in that church were looking down on him. In fact, in the Greek, the word is kata phroneto. Literally, they pointed their noses down to Timothy. They despised him because he was young. And Paul said to Timothy, look, you don't react in anger or you don't try to prove yourself by shouting and yelling at them or standing up and saying, look, I'm the pastor here. No, he said, you set an example for them. Greek word, tupos, which literally means to lay down a pattern, a model so that others can follow. And Paul said to Timothy, look, if you want people to respect you in spite of your youth, then you need to set an example for them in godliness when it comes to your speech, when it comes to your behavior, when it comes to your faithfulness, when it comes to your love, when it comes to your purity. You want to be an excellent minister? You want to be able to be used by God? Well, guess what? When people look down on you, you don't react like the world does. You set an example. You lay down a tupos, a pattern for them. And watch how God will use that to change their attitudes towards you. More on this after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where we are bringing to a conclusion our four-part series on what an excellent minister, according to God, what an excellent minister is. And again, if you were with us on the first part of the show, we discussed how when the Apostle Paul was writing this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he was speaking to a young pastor, Timothy, who was a minister in the church or churches there in Ephesus. So when Paul was saying, this is how you can be an excellent minister, in the immediate context, he was talking to a pastor, how to be an excellent pastor, So that would refer to someone like me as well. But we also saw in the Greek, the word for minister is diakonos, which is a general word for anybody who serves Christ Jesus. So these instructions that Paul is giving to Timothy on how to be an excellent minister, I think can be broadened out and to go beyond the scope of just talking to ordained pastors. I think that this can also apply to all Christians because we're all servants of Christ Jesus. So these 11 qualities that Paul gives to Timothy and also under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit gives to us today, these 11 qualities are key. Again, we all aspire to be excellent, right? Some people aspire to be excellent parents, spouses, employees, employers. But Christian, there's no greater goal, no greater thing to strive for than to be an excellent servant of Christ Jesus. And that's why we need to understand what God's qualities are for an excellent servant. We don't want to listen to what the world says, obviously. We don't want to even care what other people say, how they evaluate what excellence is in serving the Lord. We don't want to fall into that trap. We want to know what God has to say because ultimately we're serving Him and only God has the right to define what excellence is in His sight. Would you agree with that? Well, good. So far we've seen 8 qualities, and today we're going to bring it to a conclusion on the last 3. We saw number 1, that an excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. We saw number 2, that an excellent minister is a humble servant. We saw number 3, that an excellent minister is a serious student of God's word. We saw number 4, that an excellent minister avoids ungodly influences. We saw number 5, that an excellent minister trains towards godliness. We saw number 6, that an excellent minister gives maximum effort in this endeavor because the goal is godliness. We saw number 7, that an excellent minister teaches with authority and boldness, understanding that the word of God is the authoritative word of God. We saw number 8, that an excellent minister is an example of godliness. Look, people are going to look down on you. People are going to oppose you. You don't respond with anger, arrogance, or abrasiveness. You set an example for them, tupos. You lay down a pattern where they see godliness and they can then follow that. Number 9, an excellent minister is devoted to a Bible-centered life and ministry. Verse 14, Paul said to Timothy, I'm sorry, verse 13, Paul said to Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Look, the Word of God needs to be the foundation of your life, Christian. Because again, when the storms of life come, and they always do, if your life is grounded on the sure foundation of God's truth, you're not going to be destroyed. But if your life is built on sand, on compromise, on stuff in this world, on humanistic means and ways, I tell you, when the storms come, you will go down. That's why Paul said to Timothy, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Have a Bible-centered ministry. Qualification number 9 is real simple then. An excellent minister is devoted to a Bible-centered life and ministry. Qualification number 10, an excellent minister in verse 14 does not become, listen very carefully, careless. Paul says to Timothy, do not neglect your gift. The Greek word for neglect is amelia, which is a combination of 2 words, a meaning no, melia means care. Christian, don't you dare ever say to God, I have no care about what you've gifted me to do. Don't you ever become careless. Listen, it's easy to quit. It's easy to throw in the towel. Anybody can do that. And when things get challenging, and they always do because we live in a fallen world, you as a Christian, you do not neglect your gift. You do not become careless. That's why you have to be devoted to a Bible-centered life and ministry. An excellent minister, number 10, is not careless. And then finally, Quality number 11, an excellent minister is absorbed in advancing. Verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. You've got to be absorbed in these qualities. You've got to be absorbed like a fish in water is absorbed. That's how you have to be absorbed in being a protecting shepherd, in being a humble servant, in being a serious student, in avoiding ungodly influences, in training yourself to be godly, in giving maximum effort, in teaching with all authority and boldness, in setting an example of godliness, of building your life on the Bible, having a Bible-centered life, and not becoming a careless person. Paul said to Timothy, qualification number 11 is you've got to be absorbed in this and also advancing in this, he said, so that everyone may see your progress. You see, and it's interesting, the Greek word he uses for progress is prokope. It means advancing, whether an advancing military, advancing in knowledge, or advancing like a pioneer, cutting a trail that before wasn't there. You've got to be advancing in these qualities. And this is, I mean, again, God gives you these standards of what excellence is in his eyes. Now, again, none of us are going to be perfect on this side of heaven. But once you know God's standards, Christian, you aspire to reach those standards in the power of the Spirit and for the glory of God. And you've got to be absorbed in this. You know, people talk about all the time, well, you know, you got to be careful. People say it to me all the time. I do a lot of messages, whether it's preaching at our congregations, whether it's teaching at our schools, whether it's doing the radio shoots, whether it's doing writing of devos and writing of my study notes and all that stuff and leading the organization. And people say, Andrew, aren't you afraid you're going to burn out? I'm like, what? What do you mean burn out? I'm not digging ditches, you know, 23 hours a day. That's hard work. What I do is not hard. Yes, it's a challenge. My challenge is to strive for excellence. But listen, this is my joy. This is my calling. I'm absorbed in this. I don't know. I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I wasn't doing this. I have no other aspirations in life. I'm not interested in traveling. I'm not interested in health. I'm not interested in wealth. I'm not interested in fame. I'm not interested in fortune. I'm not interested in retirement. I'm not interested in any of that stuff. I'm not interested in, I mean, I like sports, but I can't sit down and watch a game for the whole time. I'd rather sit there and study scripture. And I don't say this to make you feel guilty or make it sound like I'm holier than everybody else. No, I'm absorbed in this. Why? Because I understand what God's standards are. And now that I understand the ground rules, if I understand the standards, I'm a competitive person. And I want to reach all 11 of those standards. I want to be absorbed in this. I want to be advancing in this. And then in verse 16, Paul summarizes the 11 qualities by saying to Timothy, watch your life, that's your personal holiness, and your doctrine, that's your public instruction. He says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. It's interesting. In that verse 16, he basically summarizes the 11 qualities because those 11 qualities can fit in one or both of those areas. Watch your life, your personal holiness. Watch your doctrine, your public instruction. An example, when it comes to being a protecting shepherd, that's your public instruction. When it comes to nourishing yourself on the truths of the faith, that's your personal holiness. When it comes to, you know, having a devoted, being devoted to a Bible-centered life and ministry, it's your public instruction. When it comes to training yourself to godliness, that's your personal holiness. Look, you cannot divorce the two. Your personal holiness and your public instruction have to be together. There's no dichotomy between your public and private life, between your public instruction and your personal holiness. And working on those two areas, what ends up happening is you become an authentic Christian. Your personal life matches your public life. Your public life matches your personal life. And a person who has this type of biblically balanced Christian life, according to God, as he spoke through the Apostle Paul and penned a letter to Timothy, which has been passed down to us 2,000 years later, God says, here are the 11 qualities of an excellent minister. You're a protecting shepherd. You are a humble servant. You are a serious student of God's truth. You protect your mind and avoid ungodly influences. You train yourself for godliness, and you give maximum effort in this. You teach with authority and boldness. You set an example of godliness. You are devoted to a Bible-centered life and ministry. You do not become a careless person. You are absorbed and advancing in these areas. And personally and publicly, you persevere because you know the goal is godliness, and you know the goal is to bring glory to God and impact His kingdom. You want to be excellent in something, Christian? Just study 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. We've done a four-part series on this. Take your time, pull out a pad and a pen, and go through these qualities. And then ask yourself the question after you've written them down. Where am I when it comes to being excellent in God's eyes? Am I an excellent servant according to God's standards? Or have I been following what the world's been saying or other people have been saying? No. We have one standard. That's God's standard. And praise God that God in His grace has given us His word of truth so we can understand what God has to say about excellence, excellent ministers of Christ Jesus. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.